Welcome to the Anxiety Summit Season 2. This is your host again. I'm Trudy Scott, food mood expert, certified nutritionist, and author of the Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. You've been hearing from health practitioners throughout the summit and really great topics, really great speakers, but I really think it's important for you to hear from real people who have gone through some of these things and made some changes and seen some successes. So today, I'm sharing a success story from someone who has seen a big improvement in her anxiety. Her name is Angela Savitri, and she is a Freedom from Chronic Stress coach, and you'll hear a little bit more about that in a second. But firstly, I just want to say a very big welcome, Angela.
Thank you for having me.
It's really good to have you here, and I'm just going to share a little bit about why I invited you to come and speak. Angela's a friend and a colleague, and she recently shared an article in a newsletter, and it was about how changing her breakfast cut her anxiety in half. And when I read that, I thought, we really need to share this, because we hear about GMOs, and we've heard about mercury and the impact of the adrenals on our mood and anxiety, and gluten, and a lot of really important things, obviously really important. That's why I invited these guests to share this information. But we don't want to forget the simple things. And so this is why I've invited Angela to share what she's done. And she's got a very interesting story, because she has devoted her life to the work that she does because of her own health and relationship crisis. And it required her to take 2 medical leaves from work before she was 30. And I'm just going to share a little bit from her bio here. Through this humbling experience, Angela knew she had to look within to change her approach to ambition, work, relationships, and well-being. She healed herself while still working in a corporate setting to experience peace regardless of her external circumstances. She left her corporate career behind to pursue her passion to ease the chronic stress burden of high-achieving women so they can experience calm, contentment, and lightheartedness even with a demanding career. I love that. Angela is an occupational therapist, Duke-certified integrative health coach, Kripalu yoga teacher, and mindfulness meditation teacher and student. And you can learn more at her website, freedomfromchronicstress.com. So like me, Angela has lived it. She made some changes, and now she's helping professional women be free of chronic stress and burnout. And I love it. And she shared one of the most powerful changes that she made, which was how changing my breakfast cut my anxiety in half. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some of the other changes that she made. And she made a number of these together. So, and this often happens. You'll hear about, you know, changing your diet, maybe adding in some supplements, maybe adding in some yoga. And all of these can work together to make you start to feel better. But let's just go through a few of the things that Angela did. And she's going to share some of her story and some of the things that worked for her. So, Angela, again, welcome to the Anxiety Summit. And as you know, I'm a big fan of using targeted individual amino acids. And you had shared how you've used both 5-HTP and GABA to help with your anxiety. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. I have always experienced anxiety. I didn't know that was the name for it until I actually sought help in my late 20s. But when I hit my late 20s, specifically when I was 29, I had really overextended myself through my workaholic behaviors and so forth. And the anxiety that I had always had really blew out of control. And so I sought, you know, I sought the traditional methods for anxiety relief, and did not experience any relief from some of the traditional allopathic medications that were prescribed. And so I started to seek alternative, or what was then considered alternative ways, mm-hmm. that are hopefully now becoming more mainstream, because I had a combination of both depression, generalized anxiety disorder, and also insomnia going on, all kind of connected all at the same time. And so I did. I saw a holistic psychiatrist, and she put me on amino acids. I started taking the 5-HTP and the GABA. And I started taking all three of those together. And I do feel with – I could definitely tell with the 5-HTP and the GABA that that did help the insomnia that I was experiencing, that combination. And then I was doing so many other changes, you know, at the same time. It's hard for me to exactly pinpoint, you know, what specific supplement or what specific combination that it was, because I was so bad off. I was really being very diligent about being adherent to things and really, really taking ultimately, you know, good care of myself, because I just could not continue to live with the same type of anxiety that I was experiencing. I had to make a dramatic shift and do something different.
Great. And now the other part of this is the yoga and the meditation. And as a Kripalu yoga teacher and a mindfulness meditation teacher, we would expect yoga and mindfulness meditation to be part of your routine. Can you share a little bit about how you incorporate this into your routine and how it's helped?
Yeah, so yoga and mindfulness have made an enormous difference in my life and in my own kind of personal, I call character development, because I do believe that the anxiety that I experienced was not, I believe that it was physiological, you know, that it needs to be addressed on the level of the physical body. But like with many people with anxiety, you know, there are unrealistic, or what other people considered unrealistic, fears, and the concern and the worry about the past or about the future and what's going to happen, and all of those things. And so through mindfulness, and that's learning how to be present without judging it and learning how to have compassion for yourself, mm-hmm. which especially in the West can be very, very challenging, to learn to develop a sense of kindness towards your own self. And mindfulness has just been a huge game changer in me learning to let go of hope and expectation of what may or may not occur, and really help me live a more connected life of what's right here in front of me right now. And mindfulness is a skill. You know, yes, it's helpful to meditate and all those things, but you can also practice mindfulness without sitting in meditation for 20, 30 minutes a day. And so my personal practice really varies. I've gotten very attuned to what's going on in my body and in my mental emotional state. And I actually adjust. I'm not very regimented, because that does not help me live a flexible life. So I'm very flexible, you know. I'm very flexible in my approach. Where I do some formal meditation, and I especially like walking meditation for myself as someone who has anxiety, in lieu of sitting where you feel like you may be trapped or that you're crawling out of your skin, especially if your anxiety is really high, taking a very slow, mindful walk, walking meditation, especially out in nature if you're in a landscape that allows you to do so, is very beneficial. But also learning the actual character development of mindfulness, learning how to develop trust, non-striving, non-judgment, all of those things help end some of the internal stress and pressure that I put on myself, which ultimately lent itself to like me feeling free in my life instead of bound, you know, by all these constraints. And then for the yoga component, there's lots of research on yoga helping with trauma, anxiety, depression, and so forth. And what I want to emphasize is that it's less about the particular pose, although there are certain poses that help for certain things, but it's really more, yoga is not about down dog and, you know, certain chaturanga or anything like that. It's more about learning how to live and be in the body and be comfortable in your body and learn how to relate to your own body sensations with curiosity and kindness in lieu of pushing them away or feeling like, you know, you're unsafe in the body. And so yoga and these embodiment practices, whether it's yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or something like that, but these really help you learn to be in touch with the body and to be able to self-regulate. So I can now tell, oh, my heart rate is increasing. Let me soften my approach and increase my breath length, you know. I can now experience different sensations in my belly and in my gut. I can tell when my jaw is tight in lieu of open. And those are sensations that now I experience naturally because I've gained so much embodiment, knowledge, and skill from a yoga practice that has really just put me in touch with the core of who I am, but also put me in touch with my body, which before I completely neglected and was so focused on my mental thoughts, whereas yoga allows me to regulate myself in the body so that I don't rely on my psychological mind for my liberation. I can tune into, okay, I'm breathing a little shallow, or maybe I'm even not breathing at all, and allowing my nervous system to regulate because I can now master my breath, I can master my heart rate, I can do all of these things to help regulate my nervous system's response to external triggers and stimuli. So those two things have just made the biggest difference on my life and have also just filled my soul, you know, which is awesome.
Lovely. Awesome. And I love that term, kindness to yourself, because so often we're not kind to ourselves, and I think it's so important. And and the way you describe all of this, I just feel, you know, relaxed just listening to you. And this is a big part of the work that you do, correct?
Correct. So I combine behavioral science, so learning how to change your behaviors and also your approach of yourself, along with embodiment skills. And so when people think of yoga, they always think of down dog or being in tight clothes or something like that. And that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about learning how to live safely in the body instead of spending all of your time attached and identified with your mental activity. And then mindfulness is incorporated in my work throughout everything that I do, about learning how to be here now, learning how to really be present with yourself, with other people, and connected to nature instead of feeling disconnected from everything that's really going on in your life.
Wonderful. And I love the tie into nature and the idea of doing a walking meditation. I mean, you're getting three beautiful things at once. You're getting the walking, you're getting nature, you're getting meditation, and outdoors. I mean, there's four things there.
Right.
And then kindness to yourself. It's just beautiful, really lovely.
Yeah, it's a different way to live, and there are so many people that are on this path that have experienced such liberation that even if they continue to need help or manage their health problems, this is a way of learning how to connect with softness and compassion to yourself, that regardless of what health problems or relationship stuff or how much bogged down you feel with your family or work life that you are, it's a skill set that's a practice of learning how to be comfortable and with your own, in your own skin, with who you really are. And there's no medication for that. You know, it's an approach towards yourself.
Right. Lovely. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah.
Now, let's change direction a little bit, because the other aspect that has been a game changer for you is diet. And you had mentioned how you changed your diet. Before we get into the whole breakfast discussion, you just said that you changed your diet to a 90% whole foods diet. Tell me a little bit about that and how what you've done and what you've seen.
Yeah, so I used to think that a healthy diet was about my calories and about my fat intake. And that is so far from the truth. And that once I experienced such a low in my life, and once I started to engage and learn more about nutrition and become properly educated, not what commercials or, you know, popular magazines tell me, but once I really became educated about nutrition as nourishment, I started to make some real significant changes to where I eliminated the majority of refined sugar in my diet. I started to eat a lot more vegetables, and that was the hugest, one of the biggest changes that I made, is that instead of thinking something that was low fat and lower calorie, I was getting more nutrient-dense foods, and even eating vegetables at breakfast and things like that. Learning that my cereal was processed. You know, I didn't know that certain, I just thought that these were healthy cereals because they had 150 calories and 2 grams of fat, which really, they're all, I know you're laughing, but they were, you know, I thought that was, I was just looking to maintain my weight or always lose weight or something like that. When instead I started to eat, you know, only humanely raised meat that was also organic and I eat local meats. Now I have a great selection of that where I live, which is great. I significantly increased my vegetable intake, and I started to, I eliminated all the non-real butter products in my house, and I eliminated vegetable oil. I eliminated all of those things and only started to use coconut oil and grass-fed butter in my cooking and in my baking and things like that, and eliminated all, you know, GMO canola, vegetable, all of those things that are just, I felt, you know, toxic. And so what I saw with that was I felt a different sense of, like, I know this may or may not make sense to people, but I felt a different level of clean in my diet. To where if I went back and all of a sudden, let's say I would eat like a candy, if I ate like a Starburst or a Skittle or something like that, that historically I would really like, I could feel how toxic it was to my body. And because I had gained all these embodiment skills, I could feel how that I just got like a rush to my head, or I would feel jittery. And it just did not feel good. But I realized when I ate the more vegetables and I ate healthy fats, I felt a sense of being satisfied instead of always feeling like I need the next thing to help satisfy me and always kind of thinking about it. And I think that's because I was finally getting the nourishment and the you know, the vitamins and minerals that my body was desperately craving. And now I actually will crave the leafy greens. Like if I go a day without any leafy greens, I start craving those and wanting those because my body is like, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. And learning how to mindfully eat based on what I can really feel my body, you know, really needs that day. Some days it needs more protein than others. Mm-hmm. Some days it needs more greens than others. And it's just an intuitive way of learning how to be tuned in with the body and correspond and eat that way.
Great. And it's really interesting how you can feel that difference when you have been eating clean. It's just so powerful, and it's such a great message that we can get that will tell us this is not good for us.
Mm-hmm. It's not. And I know you responded to another e-newsletter I put out where I said I haven't had a fast food hamburger. I'm 37 now. I haven't had a fast food hamburger since I was like 14. I don't drink any sodas or anything like that. I can't even imagine drinking that now and how my body would just vehemently respond to its negative capacities. So
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, and some people just can't believe it that anyone could eat like that, and it's totally doable, and you feel so great when you do. So I'm glad you shared that one too.
Yeah, it is. And it doesn't, I think some people think it's socially isolating, but one thing that I made with all these changes was also I significantly made changes in my friendships, and I started developing more relationships who were living a lifestyle similar to mine or interested in the same things as me. And that, too, helps make changing so much easier. It's not that I have to give up friendships. It's just that I'm adding new ones that are more meaningful to what I'm really seeking in my life. And there are tons of great restaurants. I live in a medium-sized southern town, and there are still, I've got plenty of options for local food source and, you know, local fresh produce and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of of checking places out before you go, making sure that it is going to satisfy your nutritional needs. And I'm glad you brought up the social isolation thing, because a lot of people, when they're starting to make these changes, they'll say, you know, none of my friends get this, my family doesn't get this, what do I do? And I think what you've mentioned is important, but then also I think setting an example and just sharing what you've learned with your friends and your family members who may not know some of this.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And as I'm the cook in my house, and so my husband eats whatever I cook. And so as I started to cook differently, I'm cooking things that taste good. You know, I'm not cooking things that don't taste good. He's responding, and he's made those changes along with me. And along the same lines, he doesn't eat fast food like he used to at all either, because when he does, he's like, oh, this is gross, because now he's used to eating a whole foods, a real foods diet. Yeah.
Wonderful. And that's, you know, I always talk about how I work with women, and I don't mean to exclude men, but I do find that working, you know, if I'm working with a woman like, you know, like yourself, who's making these changes and needs the guidance, they'll make the changes just like you did, and then they will help, you know, do the cooking, do the shopping, and then their husbands and their kids or other family members will get the benefits as well, which is so wonderful. I'm helping one person and they get to help their whole family. I'm actually working with a woman at the moment who's made some huge changes and seen some huge improvements in her mood, and her husband was very skeptical, but he had to get on board because she was the one doing the cooking.
That's right.
And now he's feeling so great. He says, oh, I need to learn more. I want to, you know, I want to see if I can, you know, take this to the next level and feel even better than I'm already feeling. So it is great how we can do that. So good for you. Your husband's very lucky.
Yeah, he knows he's got it. I sometimes take pictures of my meals and post them because, you know, I love to cook, and he's got it made because he's eating good.
Yes, that's good. Okay, so let's go on to the final change that you made that you shared was the biggest game changer for you and your anxiety. And this is a change that you made in your breakfast. So tell us what you changed and what the result was.
Yes, so this was the biggest change, because even with all of these other changes that I had made, and they were significant because my anxiety probably went from off the charts to like a daily six. Mm-hmm. But if anyone who has anxiety knows that still a six is still out of a 10 on anxiety is still a pretty anxious feeling, you know. And so this was actually at your recommendation when we first started talking and learning of each other's work. Was I started to eat animal protein for breakfast within 1 hour of waking. And that has been the biggest nutritional change that has made the most significant impact in the anxiety that I experienced, because I was still hovering under six, and maybe around 3 o'clock I would go back down to a 4 or something like that. But with me eating that animal protein in the morning, and I usually either eat like 2 organic slices of turkey bacon, 2 pastured free-range eggs, something like that, my anxiety has more than cut in half. It's gone from like a 6 to a 2. And I no longer feel like I am living around my anxiety, you know. I feel calm. I feel grounded. I don't feel nervous in social engagements. I would never say that I had social anxiety per se that ever prevented me from doing anything, but I had a lot of sensory overload, stimulation, things like that. But eating that animal protein in the morning within an hour of waking it's just made the biggest difference. And I think that change happened within 6 days. I stuck with it, because before I was eating like a kale, applesauce, ginger hot soup in the morning, and I didn't have any protein with it. And so now I've just added that to my kale ginger soup, and it significantly has reduced and made just the biggest difference. And I do it religiously now.
That's wonderful. And if you for some reason skip the animal protein in the morning, do you notice a difference?
I did. There was one day, we have a wonderful farmer's market in the town where I live on Saturday mornings, and I go there for fun. I go there to pick up, you know, my produce for the week and so forth. And there was one morning I was like, oh, I've been doing so great. I'm fine without it, you know. And so I didn't have any protein that morning. I went to the farmer's market. It's still a gorgeous day outside. I got out of my car. I walked to the farmer's market, and all of a sudden I started to feel my anxiety rise. And it felt so terrible because I used to always live that way, and I just worked around it all the time. And so even if I miss a day, I can tell. And so I make sure to just never miss a day. I plan for it to make sure I've always got something in the fridge that the night before that I know that I can prepare pretty quickly in the morning when I wake up. So it is something that I still, you know, consistently need. Because the anxiety comes, the physiological, you know, anxiety comes back if I don't do it.
Great. And then I wanted to, that's just such wonderful results. Really, it is fantastic. And it is the number one thing that I will focus on with my clients is, you know, have breakfast within an hour of waking and have protein. It's the single most powerful change that people can make for anxiety, for energy levels, for focus, for irritability, for everything. It's just so, so powerful. And it's wonderful that you've experienced it to this extent. And a few things I wanted to just elaborate on, because I think it's important things that you said, is be prepared. So you could have leftover dinner for breakfast if that's going to work. And then something you said earlier in the interview was having vegetables at breakfast. A lot of people don't think about that. And you can certainly have leftover dinner with vegetables, or you could do a soup like you're talking about and adding some chicken into a soup, or having the eggs and the bacon. And when you were talking earlier about some of the food changes you made, you didn't talk about eggs, and I assumed eggs are part of it. So I'm glad we've mentioned eggs here, because so many people are afraid of eggs, and they're such a wonderful source of protein and choline and good healthy fats, and such a great start to the day.
And they're also really quick to make, that if you don't have time in the morning to sit there and, you know, do whatever you need to do, to scramble some eggs literally takes 3 minutes. I mean, it's really, really quick. Really quick. And I want to speak to the vegetarians too, because before I did this, the only hesitation that I had to this was because I ate meat prior to this maybe only 2 times a week, because I had always tried to limit my animal consumption. But in this whole inquiry of kindness to myself, seeing how this made the biggest difference, I have to say, like, I am a sane and steady mood person with it. And to me, like, that's the act of kindness, as long as my meat is humanely raised, for the vegetarians out there, because I totally get it, because I've experimented with all types of vegetarian and vegan diets out there too, because of environmental and, you know, ethical stuff too.
That's beautiful. That's a lovely way to put it. And I agree with you. We've got to be kind to ourselves, and we can be better people, and we can do more good in the world when we are in a good place, and that the aspect of looking for humanely raised animals is an important one, and I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's lovely. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. So this has been fantastic. I'm just so pleased with the fact that you've agreed to come on and share this, and I love the work that you do, and I know you and I had talked about maybe going and doing a workshop at Kupalu, and hopefully that'll come to fruition one day, and we'll get to actually meet in person.
So
that would be lovely. I think it's everything that you do is just wonderful, and I know that you've got a lovely audio giveaway for folks. It's called 3 Secrets to Self-Care Without Feeling Guilty, and you talk about how to take care of your personal needs. Do you want to just share a little bit about that? And what we'll do is share the link to this audio download on the blog that goes with this interview.
Sure, yeah. This is a 35-minute audio training geared towards professional women who feel like they always should be doing something different, with a keyword there being should. And so in this audio, I share three ways to be able to kind of free yourself from the guilt of what you think you always should be doing, how to learn to be kind to yourself, what self-care really means, to be able to lower your stress and anxiety. And also I share a couple of mindfulness tools of learning how to become more in the present moment as another way of being able to take care of yourself, so that you feel a sense of emotional freedom about meeting your needs instead of feeling like you're sacrificing, or that you're, you know, not putting someone else in front of yourself. It's just a way to free yourself from some of the guilt that many professional women feel torn by in trying to take care of themselves, which is very important.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Any final words of wisdom?
Yeah, just before we sign off, you can get the audio at freedomfromchronicstress.com. And then I think my final words of wisdom is that I think for anyone who experiences something long-term, like how anxiety affects people, that there's a lot of grasping sometimes of, let me try this, let me try this, let me try this. And I think all of the searching is warranted to some degree. And if people can just still themselves, however they can do that, whether it's out in nature or after exercise or something, and really reflect and look within themselves after they've absorbed all of this information, and just think, what is the best right thing for me now? What's working? What's not working? Tuning into your own sense of self after you've gathered the information and say, okay, what's the best next step of how for me to navigate this and move forward at this point in time, so that it doesn't kind of fuel the neurosis of trying to always fix something, you know? And that's another way to practice kindness, is just looking within yourself for the answers, especially once you've gathered so much information that's been good and useful, but not letting that spiral you into more anxiety from trying to heal yourself, making small shifts, one change at a time, that feel authentic and right inside of yourself.
Beautiful. And that's really perfect words of wisdom in a summit like this, because there is a lot of information that folks are hearing, and they may have heard, you know, many different areas that they think, oh, this could be something I need to look into. And I think that's a great approach to take, because there can be many aspects that can contribute, as you found out and a lot of people find out. And it's just a matter of going slow and figuring out and being kind. I love it. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thanks, Angela, for being
Thank
on here.
You.
It was
yeah.
a great pleasure. And as I said, hopefully we get to meet in person one day. And everyone, I just want to thank you for signing in to another great call on the Anxiety Summit. And be kind to yourself, and get outside and do a nice walking meditation. And have a good breakfast and all the other good things that Angela's talked about. This is Trudy Scott signing off.